Hare Krishna. Whoa, this is really loud.
Hello?
Yeah.
When you leave. Not now. But when you leave. Is it too loud? Let me see.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. We'll be reading from the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, the hidden secrets of devotional service. In chapter 12, we'll be discussing some of these secrets. And I've been thinking a lot about the consciousness of many people this time, during these times. And actually, I think any living entity who has conscious at some time in their life will begin to question and wonder what is afterlife. Is there a life? I mean, is there really a life? Or you just float around? Or is there things to do? Where do you go? Who's there? Is there going to be some entertainment? Do I have something to do? I'm sure this has all entered everyone's mind at some point. Most religions give some kind of a hint that there definitely is a supreme person and a supreme celestial abode, that we will get some relief and be able to go there. It's definitely going to be better than here, that's for sure. But there's a lot of question marks after that, and they're not real sure exactly what God's role is in the whole affair. Is he just a father figure, or maybe he's an energy or love, or maybe is he male or female or transgender or both or what? So these are questions, and probably some people might have some nice speculative answers. And if we went to the spiritual world, we know that God is very busy here with dealing with everybody here in the material world. He definitely has business calls 24 hours a day. I need help. Can you fix this? Forgive me. Oh, please forgive me, God. He's had me listen to all this. And then there's the curses. He's getting blamed for the virus. He's getting blamed for the economic finance collapse. He's getting blamed for so many things. God this, God that. And then, also, then sometimes on Sunday, he gets praises. So he's very busy. And does he really have time to be in the spiritual world or the heavenly planets also? How does he do all these things? Will he have time to come check on us? So there's a verse here that explains a little bit about God's position in us leaving our body and coming back to him. So we'll read texts 6 and 7. I'll just read the Sanskrit real quickly. Eti sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananinaiva yogena mam jayanta upasate tesham aham samudhartha mitchu samsarasagarat bhavamina chirapartha maya veshik. To chase to some translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engage in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Purport. It is explicitly stated here that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from material existence by the Lord. In pure devotional service, one comes to the realization that God is great and that the individual soul is subordinate to him. His duty is to render service to the Lord And if he does not, then he will render service to Maya. As stated before, the Supreme Lord can be appreciated only by devotional service. Therefore, one should be fully devoted. One should fix his mind fully on Krishna in order to achieve him. One should work only for Krishna. It does not matter in what kind of work one engages, but that work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His life's mission is to please Krishna, and he can sacrifice everything for Krishna's satisfaction, just as Arjuna did in the Battle of Kurukshetra. The process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such transcendental chanting attracts the devotee to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll stop there. So Krishna definitely does intervene in this afterlife. Very much described here that he personally arranges for our swift deliverance. Last week I got a letter from Krishna.com. It was very interesting. One person said, you know, I have such a nice relationship with my wife, and I'm just curious if when I go back, after life, when I go back to the spiritual realm, will my wife be there? Will I be able to be with my wife? I mean, we're like soulmates, you know? And so many people might wonder this also. There is one religion, I think it's Seventh-day Adventist, I can't remember, but we visited them in New York one time, their headquarters. And their idea of afterlife is just that, that your whole family is there. They have pictures of the whole family with the dog under the table, the same dog that you have here, and the same chicken in the pot on the table, and everything there. God's not in the picture, but your whole family is there. And some of our girls ask questions, well, are you there with your first wife or your second wife? And is it, if you had an accident, are you going to be there after the accident or before the accident? And so many questions, and they couldn't really answer any of them. Because it is just speculation. I mean, wishful thinking that, yes, that all my relatives will be there, but these relationships are temporary. The soul is eternal, and if the husband and wife serve each other nicely in Krishna consciousness, then yes, they'll both be delivered, because each one has a specific relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there's still many misconceptions about this life after death, and even who this God is, who Krishna is. In this verse, the word me is there five times. So definitely it's not an unembodied person. It's an actual person that is speaking. So we at least understand that, and that he has preferences. As we go throughout this chapter and in a few verses, there are five verses after here that all end up with, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So God has preferences. He knows who he wants to be with. So the Vedas have many answers, all the answers, who God is. And we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us these to satisfy our intelligence and to get us straight on who we are and who Krishna is, who God is, and how we can obtain, how we can become very dear to him. But we don't just get Krishna. We don't just go back to Krishna. Krishna has a whole other world, a whole huge family, millions of living entities of all sorts that are in love with him. So we meet them in the Vedas. We meet the mother and the father. We meet so many of Krishna's families and friends and associates. And not just people. They're the birds. Many of the birds might be saying, Oh my goodness, what did Vrinda Devi, she told me to sing a certain tune tonight for the for their meeting. Oh my goodness, what was that tune? And oh, all the messages I need to deliver to Krishna today that I got from Radharani. And then the trees, they're so conscious too, they have a relationship. Please, my shade is so nice today, it's so hot, please sit under my tree. And my roots are soft, you can put your head there and lay there. And if you like, I have every kind of flower you could ever imagine. Just like on the altar, we've got every kind of fragrant flower there is today. And this garland is overwhelming. Or the trees might even say, I'm so strong, my limbs can hold your swing. Please, put your swing here. And the land also is yearning. Please, embrace me with your feet. Put your feet on top of my land here. And take all the minerals you want. Decorate the faces of your gopis and your gopa friends. And then they might even say, the rain has been so nice lately, the waterfalls are full on Govardhan. Go sport in my waterfalls. So this is a whole different conception, very intimate understanding of Krishna and his whole entourage, which is so pleasing to hear, that there is going to be a spiritual world, and God is going to be very much there with everybody. But now, unfortunately, we're very far away, and we've been separated. Somehow or other, we broke that relationship. But God is so kind that he is calling us back home in so many ways. He gives us these scriptures. He gives us so many other Vedic literatures that help us to understand what to do and what not to do, how to repair our consciousness, how to become attracted to him, who he is, and how to get there. And he also sends messengers of all sorts, like Srila Prabhupada, and incarnations and avatars to give us messages of his characteristics and his personality. And then sometimes he comes live. He just appears on this planet, which is hard to imagine. And it's really not that long ago that he was here. And now he's present in his holy name. And we experience it. We experience him in his holy name. I remember at the installation of the Panchatattva, the big Panchatattva, before that they had, every night there was a celebration. And I remember, I think it was Govinda Maharaj, Govinda Swami, he was leading the kirtan for a few hours. And literally no one had their feet on the ground. It was so packed, and everyone was so ecstatic. So everyone experiences Krishna in this holy name. And of course, the very special mercy is the deity worship. We get to practice service. We get to get back into that mood of selflessness. If you look here today, I personally saw a couple of ladies in here 3 days ago preparing for this darshan, for the pleasure of the deities. And I know that my neighbor right now is stringing literally 1,000 flowers, because I know I picked at least 800 of them this morning, for the pleasure tomorrow. And many people are thinking of dressing them and for Lord Nrisinga days, of the different ways that they can meditate. Like in this purport, it says, always meditating, having their mind fixed on their personal form. And this is the way we get that mercy, is we can be very easily fixed. What color should I put in the turban? What kind of garlands should they have? How many? So many garlands today. So this is also Krishna's mercy to arrange for us to revive our devotional service and to become absorbed in that mood. And it's a joyful process, truly joyful. And it makes your heart very, very satisfied, no matter what is going on anywhere else. So this personal presence, when he actually comes here to this planet, it was to demonstrate how one can take part in a loving affection. Lord Chaitanya did the same thing. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read of so many reciprocations that he had with so many different devotees, even with the animals in the forest, which is right here to my right. He had so many servants, and we hear of the praises that Lord Chaitanya gives his most dear, affectionate devotees, and also the chastisements. So many different pastimes. So this is a demonstration that, yes, there is a love and affection we can have and experience, so that we become encouraged and begin to look forward to going back home, back to Godhead. So I'm sorry, the friend on Krishna.com, it might be that you're not going to recognize your wife there, but if you both make it, that's the best thing. And you'll both be in love and ecstasy with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, I joined in 1970, and I remember that the Krishna book came out just about a week after I joined, and the Nectar Devotion had just come out. And Prabhupada did this early to give us a little picture, an introduction to this personality of Krishna. We had some photos and some pictures, some Brijabasi pictures from India of Krishna, but when the Krishna book came out, that was really exciting, although some of the pictures were kind of funky. But we just sat down and just went through all the pages and learned of all these different pastimes. So this was Prabhupada's mercy to give us so many different features that we could understand more about Krishna. And as we become more and more familiar, then our heart can develop some little attachment in a specific way. It's not that everyone loves Krishna in the same way. I think the most remarkable thing is that everyone can love this same person. It's unheard of in the material world. There's competition. If I love him and you love him, or this group loves them and you all love them, but you can't do that. Envy, and how can that happen? That everyone can love the one person, and that one person can love everyone. I mean, this is unheard of, and it's just amazing to understand that this is eternally the position of God and his parts and parcels. So, like I mentioned in these other verses, like this one, for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So Krishna is giving us hints of who he wants to be around, and who and how to attract him. How can we attract him and become very dear to him? In summary of these verses, many of the qualities are that we should not. He doesn't want people to be attached to anything. That you're very carefree. That you're transcendental to all these other things going on. Happiness, distress. That means that you're tolerant. These things can happen, but you're not affected. And being tolerant is also a sign that you're self-controlled, which is another feature. And if you're self-controlled, then you are fixed. And then when you're fixed, you're satisfied. And when you're satisfied, that means you're reaching your goal, which is Krishna. And of course, you can't be envious. So these are some of the qualities that Krishna is looking for in us. And these all can be gradually brought up within ourselves by deep bhakti, by the practices that are mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. These qualities are inherent in us. So if we just follow this process gradually, we will become very dear to Krishna, and he will, as it says here, he'll be the swift deliverer from this ocean of birth and death. So, a little bit more about this personality of Krishna that we can hear and become attached to. There are different characteristics according to the ages. There's, of course, the Kumara age. The Kumara age is up to 5 years. So, of course, all babies are cute. They make them that way, so that you take care of them nicely when they need the most care. But Krishna is just really cute when he's small. And he's seen dressed in just the four directions, maybe with a little black string for protection that Mother Yasoda puts on him. And, of course, ankle bells and a lot of kajal around his eyes. And he's very frivolous, and a lot of time he spends with the calves. He catches their tail, gets dragged around in the dust of Vrindavan, and sometimes he even is asked by his father, or sometimes he doesn't even ask, but Krishna will, even very teeny tiny as he is, he'll take Nanda Maharaja's shoes, put them on his head, or his slippers, and bring them to him. So these are all very relishable pastimes of the Lord in his Kumara ages. And then from 5 to 10, this is the Pauganda. And of course, this is when he engages in a lot of pastimes with his friends, sporting, with picnics, and lots of games, and a lot of rascaldom also. Here, a lot of his defeating demons and getting in trouble, stealing from the gopis, and of course, wrestling and doing dramas, a lot of fun things that kids that age like to do. And of course, he has thousands of friends that are relishing this time with their most dear friend Krishna. And then, as he gets a little older, the Kaishora heir is described that his beauty is unsurpassed, that this is when he is an impeccable dresser. He dresses to the greatest height, expert on his flute playing, enchants everybody, and that he is now sporting with the young village girls, the gopis, and enjoying those different times with the flirting with the gopis and spending a lot of time with them. So these are some of the pastimes of, in the different ages. And they're all relishable. And we should try to hear them more often. Because that will make our hearts soft and be easier for us to understand Krishna in our hearts. Now, some people kind of question Krishna's personality, because there's such contrasting characteristics. There's somewhat bewildering to some people. I know they are for me. It's described in the Nectar Devotion, this dear Lalita. This is a quality of being very funny and joking. When I think of the pastimes of Krishna in that place where the mountains come together, Dhanakeli or something like that, where he stops them and insists on taxes. And they bicker and they fight and they have a lot of fun figuring out how they're going to get by this tax collector, Krishna. And another one also very similar is the Manasa Gangi boat ride, when the gopis are looking for a ride across with their goods to the other side of the Manasa Gangi, and the only boatman there is just some old boatman with a rickety boat, and of course Krishna gives them a very hard time, makes them throw all their goods over, their garments over, everything over, makes a storm come, but just to get the embraces of Radharani and the gopis. So funny and joking, that's definitely Krishna's wonderful pastimes characteristic. But then there's Dira Prasanta, which is very much the opposite. Peaceful, considerate. One time when Krishna was very small, he heard the little awala in the street going, fruit, fruit for sale, come get your fruit. You can, to this day, they still do that. And so Krishna heard it, and being very small, he could understand, oh, mangoes, oh, so many nice things. She has such a nice basket of fruit. let me take something. I see other people bring things. And so he grabbed some grains in his teeny tiny hand and went over and was going to trade these little grains for the fruit. And the fruit walla was so enchanted by the beauty of this little boy. She wasn't concerned with what price they were, what he was giving. Her satisfaction in the price of just being able to see this beautiful face of Krishna. So she just gave all the fruit, as many as could hold in his little hands. And when she turned around, her basket was full of gems. So consider it. Also with Kuja, think of Krishna when he was came into Mathura and was approached by King Kamsa's sandal maker. And she offered wonderful sandalwood that was meant for the king, but offered it to Krishna. And Krishna was very considerate again, and very, very nicely jerked her up straight, being a hunchback. She was very pleased with that. And she was, then she said, oh, please satisfy me. Please come to my house. She was very anxious for Krishna's association in a different way. And later, of course, Krishna satisfied her. So this is a whole different side of Krishna. And then there's Dhirodhata. Proud, restless, easily angered. A whole different gamut of characteristics that Krishna has. And the one I could think of is Pondraka. Pondraka was insisting that he was Krishna and wanted Krishna to surrender him. And Krishna was just like, you're ridiculous. I am Krishna. And he gets very angry and lets him know that he's Krishna by just taking out his Sudarshan chakra and whipping off his head. So this is easily angered, proud, restless. Yes, there's so many different pastimes like this. So Krishna has made a reputation for himself, actually. And some of it is a little hard to vouch for. Some are a little bit beyond the principles and the laws of what some people might picture God as being. But we can hear a little bit about this. There's a common problem now in schools of bullying, and people are very much against it. You know, someone taking advantage, someone maybe even beating them up, things like that. Well, Krishna, he also was a bully. There's the early in the morning before he wakes up, outside his door are waiting all the cowherd boys, so many of them, and they're waiting so they can come and help wake up Krishna and get him ready to go out to the barn and milk the cows. And so sometimes Vishal comes in, small little cowherd boy, and tries to help Krishna put his ankle bells on. What does Krishna do? He takes out his flute and beats him on the head, bullying him. What to think of that? And a prankster, definitely a prankster. There's the pastime of Krishna. And Radharani had been separated for quite some time, and Radharani is feeling such separation from Krishna, and likewise. And so a whole arrangement is made where Radharani says she's been bit by a snake, and she's going to die. Nothing helps. All the gopis are trying to figure out what to revive her, and they understand they need a snake charmer, and there just happens to be a snake charmer just coming into town. And of course, who is that but Krishna? And he insists that he has some special intimate time to relieve her of this this disease. And of course, they have to submit. And so Krishna, very connivingly, goes and has a lot of nice pastimes with Radharani there. Even when he was at the battlefield Kurukshetra, he was a prankster. Gandhari was very upset about the fighting, worried about her son, Duryodhan, and so she decided to use all her power from her austerities of being blindfolded and being dedicated to her husband, that she called upon her son and said, I will make you invincible. You come to me tonight and naked, and I will give you the special power. And so on his way there, Krishna, the prankster, says, where are you going looking like this? I'm going to see my mother. You're going to see your mother? You can't do that. And you at least got to cover yourself, your lower self. So he covers his lower self, and when Gandhari takes off her eyefold, he is covered, and therefore that part of his body is not invincible. And later on, again, Krishna is a prankster and tells Bhima, points, get him there. And so yes, Krishna can be a rascal sometimes. He's also known as a very disruptive child. He's out playing with his friends all day, and their friends and Krishna hear Mother Yasoda calling him to dinner, and the friends go, we're having too much fun, don't even listen to it, we're just having a great time. And Krishna's thinking, oh, okay. And then, well, maybe I should go, because Mother Yasoda's calling again and again. And the friends go, well, if you go, then we're not going to play with you tomorrow, forget it. And so not until, Yasoda Mata says, your father will not eat until you come. And finally he was going, but he's not very submissive. And he was so proud and that he even tells his father what to do. Now that's not very nice. He tells his father, don't worship Indra. Just make the offerings to Govardhan Hill and to me. And then at night, when everyone thinks that Krishna's sleeping, he's out and about, out in the forest of Vrindavan, every night enjoying pastimes. So yes, very disruptive child. And of course, big time thief. Of course, the young ages, he was stealing the butter and things like that. But he also stole the chastity of all the young gopis' girls. Instead of their mind being fixed on their husbands, their minds were always fixed on Krishna. And also, Krishna stole all their clothes, too. Big time thievery. And then, even in an older age, what does he do? He still has that problem. And he steals the Parijata flower from Indra for his wife, Satyabhama. So definitely a wanted personality. And he has a tendency to fight. Early in the morning, the first thing he does, go milks a cow and then wrestles with his friends every day. Even before he takes shower or gets ready for the day, he's out wrestling. And sometimes he even has weapons for his friends. He carries flower balls, which he throws and on gopis and on his boyfriends. And then he even carries a gun. I forget the name, pritchery or something like that, where it's full of scented waters that he can squirt all the gopis with. So this is also in his presentation as Lord Nrisimhadev. He definitely shows that tendency to fight. Such a fight he has. When he jumps out of the pillar to save Prahlad, he not only fights with Hiranyakashipu, but he fights with all the other associates, and he sometimes lets him slip out of his hand, and then he catches him, and puts everyone in anxiety. So he definitely has a tendency for fighting and enjoys it. Plus, this boy, Krishna, he has some eating disorders. His mother found him eating dirt one day. He was actually got told on by Balaram. Causes anxiety if you find your child eating dirt instead of all the nice things you've been cooking all day for him. He's a very picky eater. Sometimes during breakfast, after Radharani and all the gopis have been cooking so many nice things, that he'll take his fingers and pick up something, throw it in his mouth, and his mouth becomes all disfigured. Like, oof, what is this? And poor Radharani is so upset, doesn't know what to do. So he seems to be quite a picky eater, what he likes and doesn't like. And then, when they're out in the cowherd fields, sometimes when they're passing around all the food and everyone's sharing everybody else's food, sometimes they'll play a game when they'll say, Krishna, just close your eyes. I've got a wonderful sweet meat here that my mom made. Just, oh, you'll really relish it. Close your eyes. And what do? They drop a flower in his mouth. And I'm sure, because it's offered with love, he probably eats flowers too. And then, to top it off, he swallows forest fires. So these are from some very strange activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, he's quite the magician. He can do some amazing things, which we could spend hours talking about. But one that comes to mind is how Krishna cultivates pearls. Not cultured pearls, but these are cultivated pearls by other pearls. He actually planted pearls and got pearl bushes. So many pearls that he could make garlands for all the monkeys and everybody, and all the cows, and dress up everybody. And then, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he also exhibited his magic. Arjuna was threatened Jayadrath after the killing of his son Abhimanyu, threatened him that I am going to kill you before sunset, or else I will kill myself. So Krishna is his chariot, and they go out and they get led away, way far away from everyone else, and can't seem to catch Jayadrath. And the sun is going down and down and down, just about ready to go down, and Krishna, by his magic, the sun comes up again. So these are some of the wonderful pastimes that we should try to fix our mind on. So we have to think of all these different qualities of Krishna that are a little bit maybe irreputable. If you ask the residents who are engaged in all these pastimes with him, they can't think of anything else but Krishna. And to think of him gives them the greatest pleasure. So we should pray to come to the stage of becoming dear to Krishna, and we can do that by studying these different relationships with Krishna and the different qualities that Krishna would like to have in us. And we can do that just by studying Srila Prabhupada's books. And we can also recognize that these pastimes were with Lord Chaitanya also. And that we're actually in these pastimes of the Sankirtan movement right now. And we wouldn't be here and keep being in these pastimes unless we were experiencing Krishna, tasting a little bit of those, that pleasure that we want. And we can actually get a little peek of the spiritual world, of what it's like to be in his service. And hopefully we'll get more anxious, more and more anxious as we get closer and closer to leaving our bodies to the next life. And hopefully it'll be closer to Krishna. So afterlife, we really don't have to wait to have that relationship. We can, for the pure devotee, they can begin to experience those pastimes now. So this is our goal, and it's a far shot, but what else do we have better to do? Nothing. Nothing else better to do but to engage in this Vaidhi Bhakti daily, trying to become fixed, trying to become transcendental to all the things going around us, trying to hear more about Krishna and remember these pastimes so we can take the relationships that we have now, that affection, and begin to transfer them and multiply and increase it for Krishna, because this is our eternal position. So These are a few thoughts about how we can become dear to Krishna and hopefully return back to him. So if there's any questions, I guess there's somebody here that will let me know about it. But if not, we can take all the different parts of the day that Abhaydi Bhakti and try to intensify them. And now that we have maybe a few more hours in the day, not having to work or staying home, that we can intensify them even more and try to make some advancement on this goal of reaching Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, Hare Krishna, enjoy your celebration of Lord Nrisimha Day. I hope you all be listening and watching and try to find that play of Manavati and their family. I'm sure it's a winner. Okay, Hare Krishna. Miss you all.